Welcome to Sweeping the Country. I'm your host, Derek Walker. My co-host, Mr. Jimmy Carter. Hello.
Hello on this very busy, you know, February is kind of when the world wakes up. January is kind of a
true.
A hibernation month for a lot of people,
yeah,
recovering from Christmas and New Year's and just trying to get the year started. January had horrible weather for a lot of people, and the month went by kind of long, but looking back on it, I said, whoa, I'm turning the calendar page already to February, which is always, it always goes too fast. You know, it's a short month anyway, but is this one of those years where, it's one of those years with just 28 days.
Yeah.
So your car payment, your house payment, all that
everything
stuff
comes
to come up quicker.
Right.
And you've got the Super Bowl, you've got the Olympics this year, you've got just all kinds of different special things that'll be out there. And news-wise, you know, the weather has been significant for a lot of the country, that particularly Nashville, that lost much power. And people they're trying to all blame the power company, and some of that's probably true. They didn't do enough tree trimming.
Yeah.
But anybody who's been around enough weather, and I just don't think Nashville's had enough weather in the last few years, particularly for people coming from New York that are used to having a snowstorm,
mm-hmm.
or coming from Los Angeles that's not used to having any storm,
that have moved there,
and
yeah.
people who have come through there.
Yeah,
it's rare, but it's the worst thing you can have in the winter, and that's an ice storm.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And an ice storm is not like sometimes it's like a tornado in that it gets a very small area. You know, maybe there's snow in one little area here, got a lot of ice, and then the next area got rain or whatever. Mm-hmm. In this case, ice storm got pretty significantly over, many dozens of miles, over maybe 100-mile area it got.
That's huge.
And from Mississippi all the way up to Tennessee, to Nashville,
mm-hmm.
and everywhere in between. And because of that, it knocked out substations. It knocked over telephone poles. The South has a lot of trees. It knocked over crappy trees.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tree called the hackleberry that it's like a pine tree and like a Bradford pear. It just gives up the ghost whenever anything happens, like a high wind or
like
something.
Like a shallow roots kind
it's
of thing?
Shallow roots,
yeah.
And it just splits. And it sometimes they grow tall and they fall.
My wife is in Nashville right now, and she called. She's at a conference, some kind of conference with work, and it's been probably 2 weeks since that storm rolled through, at least, maybe more. And she said that there are two people, one of her bosses, is without power until like mid-February. And I'm like, man, that's crazy.
My daughter just got hers back after 7 or 8 days.
That's
a
lot.
There are probably at least 60 or 70,000 people probably
still,
at this point. I haven't looked lately, that still don't have power. And then a couple of them that did, I was noticing today, when they cut the power back on at their house, they had a spark and it burned the house down.
Oh, that's got to be.
There's been a couple of those too. And then there's some broken water mains. It's been a very difficult winter for that town. It just, worst case scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can only have so many telephone poles and you only got so many employees. Yes, you call in, you know, more people, and people you've got from other states come in. But did they call in enough people? Well, I think you can only have so many people really at one point. You know, there's only, if you have a fire at a house, you need some more extra firemen. You call a second alarm in.
Yeah.
But there's no point in calling in every fireman in town in a big city, because you can only fight so much fire at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think, I think they call it an act of God for a reason, right? And whether or not you believe in that or not, it's such a heinous thing, or such a huge thing. You can't predict it. You don't know this.
No, I mean, we've seen it with hurricanes a lot. But if you're a pro at covering that, these people, I think everybody involved was fairly inexperienced on something like this.
Yeah.
You've got to be willing to call help. They were slow in getting the state. They were slow in trying to get other resources in there, including the National Guard,
help
with tree removal. That's one of the big things.
Yeah,
is tree removal,
preemptively getting that done. But isn't that kind of a kind of a reflection of big government. They're slow. They're just slow. You and I, if we got a tree that fell through our house and you're my neighbor, I'm over there.
Yeah,
it is. Going.
It is. It's just government services are like a lot of things these days. You know, they're not Johnny on the spot.
No, they're not.
Maybe they've never been, but they certainly don't seem to be these days.
Yeah.
And then you've got things like today where they fired a third of the staff at the Washington Post. As many as several hundred reporters, I think. Maybe
really? So the, it was
yeah, a lot of people.
It wasn't just
and
one.
Some of these were bureaus around the world and some of that. I don't know what to think about it. I don't know what to think. I mean, they're blaming this on Bezos, who runs Amazon. Because they think he's been kissing butt of the Trump administration too much and doing some stuff like that and changing the editorial positions of the Post to try to make it from being some far left liberal thing to bring it toward the middle or something. And that got a lot of people to not subscribe. Lord, that's, I mean, you know, if that's true, actually I did subscribe. I come and go with some of these things.
Yeah.
And I actually did subscribe. I had the Washington Post subscription and I think I did subscribe because they did try to get from being left leaning people all the time. I want somebody just to give me the facts and keep the editorials on the editorial page.
Yeah, why? That's why they're called editorials. I mean, that's
they
why.
Can't do it. They can't do it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe both sides are this way, but certainly the extremes and fat number of both sides have got to have it all their way or nothing.
That's what I don't understand. Mm-hmm. When you said they've lost some subscribers and things like that, why? Why don't people want the news, not just a biased presentation?
They want a biased presentation.
But why? I don't understand.
Because they want to go to that church and hear that song in their hymnal.
Okay.
They want to hear it their way, and that's not how it's supposed to be.
Right, I agree.
Journalism is supposed to state the facts.
Right.
Cover the story. Expose the crime, you know, but that's just not what it's become. And so for what, you know, and also the world of advertising has changed so much, you know, I mean, the way that this country, when history is written, controlled or didn't control the growth of the internet, is going to be written so many times because you look at what the industries, I love the internet. I made money off of it. I mean, it's been an important positive part in my life.
Sure.
But it's also ruined the music business, I think, for songwriters. They can't make any money in that anymore.
Yeah.
It's killed off every newspaper in the country, literally, nearly. And the ones that are left are just a shadow of what they used to do. It's screwed up everything. It's killed radio. And they would say, well, the automobile killed the horse industry and the buggy industry and the saddle
makers. Yeah, I mean, that would be a good argument.
And that is true.
Yeah.
And that is all true. But it's just hard to go through these changes.
It's funny that you say that because it does. Technology has changed everything. I pulled up to the window at Starbucks today and got a coffee on the way into the office. And the gal said, hey, what are you doing today? I said, I'm just going to work. And she said, yeah. And she said, what do you do? And I told her, and I said, do you like things that change all the time? Or you like to just do the same thing every day? And she goes, ooh, no, she's probably in her 20s. Oh, I love what's going on in the world right now. Everything's changing minute by minute. And I thought that was fascinating because I don't know that I would ever say that. I love it changing.
Well, it's certainly changing minute by minute. And but in some, you know, you shake your head all the time because I mean, you just wonder, are we on some kind of controlled path of change or is it the chaos theory where just things are going?
Well, I heard something.
Like this.
I heard something yesterday. I was just browsing through some YouTube channels and listened to a little bit of a cast on YouTube about how AI now has its own social, pages. They have their own, like, I guess it's like Twitter for AI, and humans cannot put anything in. It's just the AI bots, agents, they're called.
They're talking to each other.
They're talking to each other. Now, we can watch them talk to each other, but we can't participate in
the conversation.
It's very scary. And
it's like Terminator for sure.
It feels like the first chapter of a sci-fi book, or you know what I mean?
Very.
And I just thought that was fascinating. And one of them said, hey, the humans are taking screenshots of our conversations and posting them on Twitter. You know how I know? I also have a Twitter account. That was the AI agent that said that. And I don't know anything about this technology, but I do know that kind of stuff scares me a little bit.
How do we know that this AI thing that's supposed to be so big and so smart, it can do so many crazy things already? Yep. How do we know that it can't start a war?
They've launched somebody has launched a hacking campaign with AI where they're not even hacking.
Well, they've got to, hacking to be able to launch a missile and start a war and cause all kinds of trouble.
I don't think that's something that's even, I think that's totally possible. I really do. I don't know what safeguards are in place. I don't know if anybody, like you said, you know, the whole, when they rewrite history, we're going to talk about the internet, right? Yeah, we are.
Yeah, and just how we didn't put any,
safeguards. There's nothing.
We didn't put anything where kids could get pornography and
Yeah, you're right.
Just everything that it did, it was just the Wild West all over again.
You're right. You are right.
You know, and it could steal elections and do all kinds of things. You know, they censored the right and the left and everywhere in between.
And how would we even know?
They censored speech, and nobody knew it because nobody knew how you could. I was trying to explain to somebody today, and I don't think any of us really understand.
Yeah.
You know what a screwball mess Facebook is, and some of these other things.
Oh, it's out of control. Yeah.
But people say, "I never see your post," and I said, "Do you ever say, do you ever put like, or do anything to the post that you do see?" No. And I said, "Well, that's why you don't see it."
That's exactly
because
right.
It knows it. If you don't acknowledge it, all you have to put there is like. Mm-hmm. It's not like you've given an editorial.
Right.
You just say you saw it. Okay. Well, then it's going to let you see that material. That's like that material by that person, more of those. And then that's the way to control it. But it's hard to get that message across. I'm talking to Ted, I'm talking to you right now.
Yeah.
And others, if you can't just look at the stuff, if you like what you see, if you just like that person, you'd like to see more of that person's post.
Yeah, you
then
click
you've
like.
Gotta put, just put a like, and then the algorithm knows, okay, I'm going to show that person more of this kind of thing.
Right, and if you're concerned that when you click the like that, oh, it's generating money for somebody or whatever, it really isn't. It's doing nothing. It's just putting the algorithm together so you can see more of that.
Yeah, so there's so much, and then sometimes people don't want to learn about new technology.
That's true, yeah.
And I was an early adapter on the iPhone. I got one of the first ones, I don't know. And I've had one seem like every year, although I didn't buy 17 yet.
I always thought you were over the top. You always had the newest one every single year. And
I just was told that this one didn't have anything on it that I needed. And so I didn't get it yet, but it's the first one I've not gotten.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I should yet. I still haven't been convinced that I should get this one.
Interesting.
And still haven't done that. But anyway, there's just so much out there in the world of technology. And then you see things like the Savannah Guthrie's mom getting kidnapped.
Okay.
It just brings it all back to you. Now, I know they're using all kinds of computers to check things and we don't know what the actual facts are because police don't give you the actual facts.
And they shouldn't, Jimmy.
But we know what we've seen.
Should they? I mean, they shouldn't because if they...
No, you can't because, it gives up stuff. But if you want people to help you, you've got to give something for people to do.
That's true.
If you really want people to be looking for a blue car, you got to tell them that there's a blue car you're looking for. But if you don't want to do that because you don't want to tell the crooks that we know you have a blue car,
right,
that you
right.
don't tell anybody. So there's there's both sides of the coin there. And I felt like, the situation may be over by the time anyone hears this podcast, and I hope it is.
I hope it is. I do too.
But, it's going to turn out to be something, I think, really strange because nobody's going around kidnapping a however old lady she is You know, they're not going to take them in for sex trafficking, and
right, it's,
they're not going to do all that stuff. So is it going to be a crazed fan that did this, that felt jilted, something like that? It could be. I don't think it's going to be something as stupid with this bunch as a relative knocking her off in order to get the estate.
That would be insane.
But I'm sure that they've looked at everybody's bank account that's involved with her. And I'm sure they've looked at all of it to see if there's anybody in financial trouble or if anybody has been messing with a cartel.
Wow.
Because this kind of smells, it's so close to the Mexican border. It could be somebody that's sophisticated enough to know that the mother is there, and they might have told through somebody who is a employee of the church she goes to.
Yeah.
Somebody that, you know, that may know that's Savannah Guthrie's mother. And, you know, they're up to no good. And you know where she lives? Yeah, we can find out and follow her.
You know,
there's all kinds of stories like that where
you get me a lot to think about. I mean, I didn't even think of some of that. She's 84, by the way.
Yeah, and these crazed fans, you know, all these people that are on television, particularly the women, not so much the men, but a little bit of men,
mm-hmm.
all these females that are in music, show business, whatever that, they've all got stalkers. They've all got crazy
people. Yeah, that's true.
Who sent letters and emails. I know that Shania Twain certainly did because I was around a little bit of that early on. I know that Carrie Underwood's had. I mean, everybody. Taylor Swift.
I mean, I don't know about
Taylor
you.
Taylor Swift's even talked about it.
Yeah.
Saying that some guys want to put me in their basement, and lock me up down there and that kind of stuff.
That level of celebrity. And Savannah Guthrie is, you know, she was going to do the Olympics, and now she's not. They got somebody else filling in for her, which is understandable. Yeah. But, I mean, she's a pretty big shot. Even on the lower tier, on the tier that we were on the radio, we had issues with that, with all the jocks that worked for the company I worked with. Most of them didn't have real names to try to hide from some of that. But now technology is so good, it takes a couple clicks, and you know exactly who everybody is, right?
It's, well, you know, I'm out there, and I've been out there.
Yeah.
I can't hide very well.
Yeah, nobody can.
But women are the ones that really have the problem.
Yeah, I would agree. But I mean,
Because there's things they want to do, you know, that involve, it's not going to be the case with an old woman like this.
It makes no sense to me.
Remember, you know, when you're looking in murder and homicides, the person that kills you is, in a very over 50%, in a large percentage of the time, is someone that you knew.
Wow.
Most murders are committed by someone that you knew. Now, that means that could be someone you go sit at a bar with.
Yeah.
Could be your Uncle George. It could be a child. I mean, it could be any number of things, but it'll oftentimes, when you go see these murders, it's somebody you've dealt with.
Yeah.
So you trace back everybody that's touched her, everybody that knows her, everybody who's had a phone call with her, and then you try to see if it's somebody associated with those people.
Mm-hmm.
And then now with these cameras in cities, you know, with have tag readers, and I don't know how sophisticated Tucson is with any of that, but Border Patrol certainly is, and that's why they called in the elite group of the Border Patrol. They have an elite squad. And they're good for tracking and things. So they were using those with the dogs. I'm sure they're going through every vehicle that went through the border because mm-hmm. they're real close to the border.
So they could have gone back over the border.
They could have been across the border before anybody knew she was gone.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, the whole thing just seemed real fishy to me, and I'm anxious to see what happens. I hope she's okay.
I hope there's a resolution because imagine just as your family members, you know, it's like when people get lost and they don't know where they are, and they have no closure.
Yeah, yeah.
That the family will be in such hell mm-hmm. if they never knew what happened to their mother.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, just think about it. It would haunt you to the day you died.
Yeah, it sure would.
I'm sure that they said 100 detectives are working on this. I bet when you add them up, it's probably more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard people get mad because, well, my Uncle George went missing and no one did anything about it. Well, I don't know that that's true. If your Uncle George was at a house and there was blood and signs that he was taken, then I'm sure that somebody did something about it. That would be extremely rare that no cop would investigate. I don't, you just don't believe half the crap you hear.
I know. I agree
but
with you.
Yes. And I tried to explain this, you know, to someone too, is that, you know, if a member of the royal, let's say a king's family member was taken, and they didn't know where they were. At the same time, a member of my family was taken and we didn't know where they were. And we all had the same resources available to us. The king would get more attention.
Of course.
That's just kind of how the world works.
Of course.
And you're not going to ever change it. It's how it's been since the beginning of time, and it's always going to be that way.
And
is life fair? No. Has everybody got the money, you know, have all the money in the world? Can everybody win the lottery? No.
Well,
you know, so
you
it's
said
just the way of the world.
You said it earlier, too. I mean, when you're watching the news, you think somebody wants to watch, not that this is right or wrong, but you think somebody wants to watch a story on Joe's mom that disappeared, or, you know, the Queen's brother, or, yeah,
it's just, but if someone did this to her mom, because of her fame.
I hope that's not true.
I hope that's not the case. But there are some really stone cold crazy people out there. Really stone cold crazy people. Well, you saw it. Look at the idiot that killed Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, that was
look
wild.
At the idiot that shot Trump in the ear.
Yeah.
I mean, these people, you know, who are these people and what are they? You know, they're roaming the earth right next to us and you don't even know it.
No.
So they're people that are crazy enough to do just about anything. Now, in this case, I'd be willing to bet you there ain't one person involved. There are minimum at least two. They smashed the cameras at the house, and they took most likely the Ring camera from the front. They didn't have a key. Someone says they did a force entry on the house, which, okay, I can believe that if it's somebody who's... But it's somebody was told to get this woman. I don't think it's the person necessarily that wanted them stolen. I think someone had people do it. And then you think about it, no one just walks up to the house that you've never been to before and does something like this. They had to have checked out the house by at least driving by it a few times.
Yeah.
And whether or not, and they believe me, they've checked every cell phone record on every tower of every phone that's within 10 miles of that place. And they're using AI.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
To see if there's any consistency with anything that matches anything else that they put in there. So there's some big computing going on right now to see what they can find, and we'll see. And I'm sure they've linked it into cars that have crossed the border for the last 30 days,
you know,
and just everything, and trying to see, okay, with that tag, what was it doing near her house, you know, and that stuff like that.
I just find it fascinating these days, right? I mean, I think they're going to find her within next, I don't know, maybe by the time you listen to this show, maybe a week.
I hope so.
I think the technology is so good now. I often wonder why people think, and I'm going to just use this as an example. I don't mean it literally, but why you would rob a bank, right? Why would you commit a crime?
Yeah, that would seem really stupid to rob a bank.
It almost seems impossible.
Of you getting away with that and even being able to spend the money. Let's say I gave you $100,000 in cash.
Right.
You wouldn't know it. You couldn't do anything with it, mostly.
It's all trackable.
Because there'd
be
so many questions about that money, you know, you had, and they'd have to report it. Anything around 10 grand, they have to call it in to somebody.
Yeah, right. You're right.
And I mean, there's all kinds of banking rules. And so that, I don't know. But one thing that I'm really, you know, I'm on a roll with, and I've been consistent about it, I am, and you may be opposed to this.
Okay, go on.
I'm not a fan of crypto. I think it's currency for the mafia and for people doing bad things. If you can't trace it or anything else, this supposed ransom was supposed, money was supposed to be paid with Bitcoin.
Interesting.
If you believe what they say.
Okay, so I have a different take on it. I've had it and messed with it for 5 years, right? I don't watch it every day. I buy it and sit it. I hold it and I do all this stuff. But I have often thought, who controls it? Who controls the you know, these people with big wallets? They call them whales that send in $20 million and buy one Bitcoin and drive the price through the roof and then sell it and buy it again down here, right? Buy the dip and all these things. I definitely think there's something to what you said. Now, whether it's mob controlled or whether it's...
Well, it's just, you know, people can do bad things in there and it's not trackable.
They say that. They say that. But I have a feeling, it is trackable. I have this feeling that they're watching every single thing everybody does with it. And I don't know how, and I don't know through the computer how you can do that. But I really don't trust it. I just did it for the sake of, well, it's a new investment.
So you think if someone put the money into these...
I think you could find out exactly...
If they gave you an account number, I don't know how that worked. Would they give you an account number?
It's a crypto wallet. You just send it to somebody. I could send it to you. I could send you 50 grand.
All right. And so
nobody would know.
But I could be an anonymous... I mean, it's just to a blind box.
We both could be anonymous wallet. You get it. You put it on a wallet. There's several kinds of wallets. You can have a tangible... wallet like this. It's a basically it's a thumb drive and all your money's on your thumb drive.
Or that makes me nervous.
Made me nervous too. And so you can also have an account held by a company like Coinbase online, where they have an online banking account. You tie it to either one of your checking accounts or you set up a dummy account. In my case, I didn't want them having my checking account, right, with all the money that I put through there. So I set up another account that's just for buying crypto, and I empty the account. So there's nothing in it. So even if you did get my bank account number, you couldn't take any money. Now, you could take my crypto. I don't know how you'd take it, and I don't know if we'd ever find out if somebody did take it. But I imagine there...
But you don't really feel real secure with this crypto?
No, I don't. And I don't make a lot. I don't make a lot of money. It's not even significant enough to have it. I could probably make more money in Las Vegas over the last 5 years if I did things right. I mean, it's kind of risky, but I just don't know that it's not.
Well, Trumps are involved in it somehow.
Yeah, they've got a coin. They've got a Trump coin. I don't have any of that coin, but yeah, they have a Trump coin. Basically, it's
there. All that just seems to say, yeah.
Right, and it's mined off of a computer. They mine for coins off this computer. It seems like a fantasy land. It really does.
Why does it use so much electricity? I've never understood that.
They make the money with CPUs from computers, so they're just running nonstop.
So I don't understand this at all. It's over my head. And I'm pretty good with technology, but that is just not something that I can get my arms around, is this whole Bitcoin thing. And I don't know if it's as popular or if it's stalled, or I don't really understand.
For me, it's a hobby. For me, it's a hobby, and that's it. And I don't understand it past that. And that's kind of scary, but it's what it is. So I don't treat it like anything else. I'm never going to put all my money into crypto. And you see, like, some of these athletes, I'll take $10 million a year, but put half of it in crypto.
Oh, no, yeah, well, they think they're getting away with something.
I don't
know. They're hiding from taxes or something
maybe,
like that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's crazy.
There's some monkey business that's going on.
Very possible. Very possible.
Was that? The Grammys were down 10% from last year, 20% from the year before.
Can I say something about that? I mean, the woke agenda from whatever side it is, right, has got to stop in that. People don't care. We love your music. I'm not saying shut up and sing. I'm not saying that. Your opinion has merit. Everybody's does. However, I just don't necessarily want to hear it.
I think there's a time and a place for things.
Okay, fair. Yeah, fair.
And that is not the time or the place.
Okay,
if they want to wear a button, I don't really have a big problem with that.
Okay.
If they just want to have a button, which was all that they could do back a while ago, or a ribbon or something. I don't really wish they would do anything. It's kind of like the NFL players. They're kind of allowed to do a little something on certain things. But stop all this stuff. I mean, it's just really, most people don't want to hear the opinion of an artist, or unless it's an opinion show. If you're listening to something for opinions,
fair.
That's fine. But if I'm trying to escape, you know, and watch a little bit of entertainment like the Grammys, I don't really want to get hit on the head with all that stuff.
It's funny
and
that
they
you
feel
said
like
that.
It's their duty. They really do. They feel like it's their duty. And particularly Billie Eilish saying we're all living on stolen ground.
including her.
Indians. And now she apparently, you know, I mean, so I've heard more than one person say, boy, I wish that those people would really go up to her and take her house. you know, and serve her right for being a moron.
But you said something super interesting a moment ago. I don't even know if you know. I mean, I know you know what you said, but if the way I heard it, they're in the entertainment industry. We're watching it to get away, to be entertained. We're not watching it for political opinion. If I want that, I'll watch Fox or CNN or MSNBC.
Or listen to this show or this podcast
sure,
or whatever.
Sure, you know what you're getting into.
You know,
into.
We're not trying to be, you know, just purely talking about movies or whatever it is, or
I
just
agree.
Talking about politics. We can talk about everything.
I agree. I agree.
And newspapers and journalism and all that stuff. And Reba's show just got renewed, and that's fine and happy for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that show got renewed, and they're redoing The Voice. It's gonna start up here real soon, and it's gonna be 2 hours long each time it comes on. And they're bringing back some of the old winners and stuff like that. So they're going to try to find some new life. And Kelly Clarkson is going to be on. You know, she just bailed out of her talk show. And I'm sure NBC wouldn't be really thrilled about that.
I was wondering about that.
I think it was doing pretty well.
I think it was, too. You think she just got tired of the grind? I know she
said. I think it's a grind. I mean, I've been on a show that's that way. And every day when you're trying to produce a miracle every day, you know, and then there are just only so many guests. If you're going to do entertainment,
mm-hmm.
there are only so many movies and so many entertainers that have a national appeal that you can put on.
Yep.
There are just so many. And the superstars, they don't go on those shows. And if they do, it's going to be every couple, maybe 2 or 3 years.
Right.
You know, I imagine she's had some people on there maybe one time and one time only.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, they had Chicago on there, and I don't think they'll be back on there again for a year or two.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just, it's a grind trying to keep, there's just only so many A-level people, and you want to have an A-level person every show.
You do. And
it's just nearly impossible to do.
You know from producing these shows, and I know from doing it for 20 years, that you don't want to duplicate, and you don't want it to be boring for anybody, and you want to be exciting and funny and, you know, and poignant.
But when you get caught up in trying to do something like she's doing and Drew Barrymore and
of
these others that are built around celebrities, you know, some big celebrity, preferably someone with a musical background, there are just only so many people that'll get a rating.
That's right. No, you're right.
And, there are a lot of people that could go on there, but not that's going to pull a rating.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've got to stick with the really A, and there aren't that many A's.
That's why we don't have them on our show, Jimmy. It would be impossible. We just don't do it. And we decided when we sat down to do this podcast, let's do it once a week, not every day, because I don't want to burn out on it, and I don't want to run out of material.
Every day is hard, man.
It's hard. It is really hard.
It's really hard just to even do 4 or 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and she's trying to fill an hour.
Yeah, that's
and
crazy.
Yes, she can go on there. There's an unlimited number of songs that she can sing that'll fill up 3 minutes every day.
That's it.
But you've still got another 30 minutes of an hour to fill.
Yeah.
And trying to have one good guest every day is just hard.
I agree.
Not everybody's a good guest. Boy, trust me on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have many lead balloons for you to say, oh my God, that was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, because I can think of, you know, hundreds of interviews, thousands maybe, that I've done. And, you know, there were a handful of them that were really, really good or great.
Yeah.
And there were a whole bunch of things that I wasn't in the right mood, or they just weren't very interesting.
Or they weren't.
Yeah. And it just was just there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just be there, you know, when you've got a studio audience and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And you saw where someone who really kind of figured that out, in a way, was Regis and Kathy, where they started the show off with just them talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do the news and talk about where they've been, and, you know, and people are into them because they're watching them. And you don't need a celebrity, but they eventually get to one. You know, they're doing a studio game, and they just try to have one person every day that may be somebody you would know. But the whole show, from start to finish, is not dependent on that star. So that's the way to go, you know, and they do it right in that time of day.
Mm-hmm.
But she's doing afternoon, and the afternoons are a little more demanding. You've got to be
evidently,
a little more star driven, a little more, you know, paced, and you can't just sit there and open the paper and do-de-do, talk about where you had shrimp cocktail last night. You know, and 5 minutes on eating shrimp cocktail.
Right, exactly.
And where do the shrimps come from? I don't know.
No, I don't the care. Shrimp,
you know, I do like that sauce, that cocktail sauce. What is that stuff? Anyway, you know, I mean, I could do 5 minutes on shrimp cocktail.
I'm bored already.
Right now. But you've got to be able to do that as a host.
Yeah.
And she's pretty good, but I don't know if she could do 5 minutes on shrimp cocktail.
No, I like her. I've seen the show a couple of times, but it doesn't drive me to watch it all the time. I don't have any interest. But it's not a bad show. It's a good show. She's likable. She can sing. She's funny. I mean, it's all good.
I always thought she did a good job on highlights that I saw, but it was always with somebody really good.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I mean, because sometimes you're good because the people you put on are good.
Yeah, and so some people are just...
You can't do a bad show, for example, with somebody that I'm... With Michael Douglas, for example. You could not do a bad show with Michael Douglas.
I mean, rest in peace, Robin Williams. There is no way...
Robin, you couldn't do a bad show. You
could never do a bad show. I couldn't do a bad show.
There's a whole bunch of A-listers, but you've got to get all of them.
It's tough.
And you got to get them on your show. You know, having Chicago on, you can certainly fill an hour, you know, with that. But some of these movie stars of today are pretty boring.
Yeah.
They're really boring. I mean, Kristen Stewart, a bunch of these people that you might want to watch act aren't that great good at talking. They're good on memorizing lines and acting out something.
Right.
But they're not great people you want to be stuck on an airplane with. You know, and I was lucky that I have been trapped on an airplane, you know, with some great people over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, good Lord. I mean, Olivia Newton-John for 3 hours.
Oh, my God, that'd be great.
Los Angeles and Nashville was one of the greatest 3 hours of my life.
Yeah.
She was so wonderful. And, of course, being with Dolly on a flight.
Now, when
to California.
You say, okay, well, hold on. When you say on a flight, are you like on a commercial flight or are you on
first class American? Yeah.
Okay, I don't ever run into anybody. I don't ever. And
well, on flights like from Los Angeles to Nashville, you would.
Okay, so if it's going
now, I ran into Kiefer Sutherland, although we weren't sitting together. He was right over next to me.
Yeah.
Coming in when I was flying one night from either Denver or Salt Lake to Los Angeles. So you can occasionally see somebody else.
Yeah.
But on the flights from Nashville to New York or Nashville to Los Angeles.
Okay, that makes sense.
I mean, I flew with Johnny Cash, Dolly, Barbara Mandrell.
That makes sense because you're
Anderson.
Going somewhere.
I remember,
Johnny
I remember
Cash.
Powers Booth and I flew next to each
really?
Other.
Interesting.
And I took him out to dinner that night because his next flight was delayed. I said, let me just go with you to dinner.
Yeah.
Come with me and I'll take you to the stockyard.
Oh,
he
how
went.
Great. How great.
And I could have been a mass murderer, but we went and had a great meal and took him back to the airport and he flew on.
That's wild.
But yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of great experiences, you know, with people on flights, just an endless number over the years.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
It was great.
I wouldn't mind being stuck with Olivia for 3 hours or Johnny
it was
Cash.
Wonderful.
The Johnny Cash.
Yeah,
I mean, come on. I know you did
and
the
I
show.
I flew with Nikki Taylor. I flew with her
did you really?
One day That's with her funny. Baby. And I got to hold the baby for a little bit while she went to the bathroom.
You know, that's
we flew
trust,
together from West Palm, I think, to Nashville.
That is wild. That
so
is
you
wild.
Just never know, you know, who you're gonna meet up there. But it's just, you know, not everybody, not every celebrity is a talker.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Not every celebrity is a good guest.
I've often wondered why they got into that business if they weren't people, you know, liking people. But there
there's still most of these people. Are really introverts.
That's fascinating to me.
A lot of them are introverts that, you know, did a lot of sitting in their closet and looking in the mirror when they were kids, pretending like they were singing or practicing playing the guitar or whatever. And they can turn it on sometimes, but not everybody can even do that.
That's particularly wild.
You know, some of the younger ones don't know what to do exactly and don't know how free to be.
Yeah,
because
they're
still trying to figure it out. You know, they've got it. They're not completely locked into their image. And then with some of the great ones, like Bob Hope, it just depended on who you were and how he felt at the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes they turned it on. I don't think you could do with a younger Jay Leno, it would be hard to have done a bad show. I think even with looking at Today Show people, all those folks have been great guests at one time or another. Brian Gumbel was. Willard was great. Al Roker's a great guest.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, there's some people that are just great guests.
You know, I had Charlie Daniels on. Well, I had him on multiple times.
Charlie's
on our show.
Wonderful.
And
He's
I got wonderful. Told, be careful because Charlie can be either hot or cold. You got to watch Charlie. And I remember going into the interview and being kind of cautious about it. We got to get him to open up right away because otherwise he's going to shut us down. And he was one of the best interviews, like you just said, that I've ever done. The
but
Oak
you've
Ridge
got people
Boys,
like Roy Acuff, for example, he was an older one.
Yeah, yeah, I remember Roy. Yeah,
he was not a very particularly good interview. Then some people just aren't very dynamic. They're kind of quiet.
See, but like Dolly, people. Dolly would, I couldn't imagine her ever doing a bad interview. I really
couldn't. No, I don't think she could because Dolly is a character.
Yeah, yeah.
Her, really,
yeah.
Like Minnie Pearl told me.
Yeah, yeah.
Whose name really was Sarah Cannon. You know, she said, you know, she's told other people, you know, it's like when I become Minnie Pearl, it's like becoming Mickey Mouse at Disney World. Mickey Mouse doesn't have a bad day.
Yeah, I got you.
You know, Mickey Mouse is always Mickey Mouse, and you know, doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
If you don't feel like, she would say, if you don't feel like me and Minnie Pearl today, stay home.
That's what I
mean.
And
I've told that to many stars. If you don't feel like being a star today, then you need to stay in your house and don't be around anybody because you're out in the public. They're going to expect you to be that person that they see on TV. And they're going to expect you to, like Blake Shelton. They're going to expect Blake Shelton to be Blake Shelton. And he better be.
Yeah. And if he's not going to be
sullen or anything like that, even though we all have those days.
We all do,
But he can't do it because he's built an image.
Yeah.
And he better be like his image.
Garth Brooks, a great example. He was funny and cordial and friendly. He was on fire every time I've talked to him.
But you know, Garth is a character.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
You know,
and
Garth
he knows.
He talks about himself in the third person.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah.
And when he is Garth, he is Garth.
He is.
And he is Mr. Wonderful and Mr. Talent and endless amounts of everything, you know. But there's some people that their personality just never goes there.
Yeah.
You know, they're just quieter people. They don't bounce off the wall. They're not, some people are, you know, they're fairly shallow. Speaking of shallow,
I saw this
story, and I will wrap things up with this, I guess.
Do it.
Boy, you don't want to be Prince Andrew today, do you?
He's
put in the doghouse 10 times. Some guy down in Tampa has survived, but he got flesh-eating
bacteria. Yeah.
And how did he get it? Well, he had some scrapes and cuts on his leg when they were on vacation in the Bahamas.
Okay.
And went out and jumped in the water and played and swam with the pigs, which some people do.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
No. And, you know, even if it's the ocean, even if it's, you know, you've got to be really careful. And if you've got a cut on your body, I don't care where it is, you cannot go out into a pond. You cannot go into a stagnant river. You cannot go into some place that even in the ocean that has a high fecal matter count.
This is going to sound gross.
They close beaches down all the time in Los Angeles.
Swimming
because
pool.
Of poo-poo in the water.
You go to a pool at a hotel, a swimming pool?
Oh, my God.
Or
I
hot
never
tub?
Do that
I won't
no,
even get in a
no,
hot tub.
No.
Yeah, so if you got a cut, just stay out. Fingernail?
I went into some place, and I think it was a steam room or something in Los Angeles years ago. And not long after that, I got some of the worst, you know, coming
something.
Up.
Something, yeah.
Yeah. I thought I was going to die. Man, it was terrible.
Stay out of
that. So you got to be careful when you're, you know, drinking water, going to a place in the water.
Yeah.
And that guy was swimming with pigs, and it got that, you know, that bacteria there.
Oh, God.
Got in his,
and he lived.
Got in that cut, and it nearly killed him.
Well, there you go.
So don't let you and your children get into some of these pools, particularly at hotels, and they got a lot of chlorine, but maybe they got a lot of everything else in there, too.
I don't trust it. Live to see another sunrise, Jimmy.
Live to see another day. That's right.
Until next week when we do it all again right here on Sweeping the Country, I'm Derek Walker. He is...
I'm Jimmy Carter.
Good day.